This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Good morning, everyone. It is a Friday, end of the week, and it is a Friday edition of the Pomp and Joe Show. Joe is not here, but I have a new co-host. If you're watching on our YouTube channel, you'll see my daughter, Selena, along with our 18, soon-to-be 18-month-old grandson, Sonny. Hi, Sonny. Sonny made a visit, dropped off some food here for me. I appreciate that, Sonny. How are you, honey? Doing all right? He likes playing with a microphone. Joel Nelson is behind the desk. Say hi, Joel.
Joel.
Hello, everyone.
So we'll be here for the next 4 hours talking about a lot of what happened last night in hockey, as well as off-season issues with the Steelers, with the Pirates coming into a season. All of that is fine to talk about. It's 412-928-9370, and you can also hit that up on the text line. And the text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And Off the Top is presented by JP Roofing & Siding. And Off the Top, we're talking about what happened last night at the Four Nations and what a great game it was. You know, I had my doubts about whether or not this was going to be able to translate into something, you know, that would replicate maybe Olympic hockey, but man, did it. And those guys who play hockey really do play for their countries. It's a passionate thing. We saw the hitting involved. We saw a lot of injuries, and that was my concern going into this thing. You know, if you're a good player on a good team and that team needs you, all of a sudden there's injuries all over the place. Matthew Tkachuk did not play after a few shifts in the first period last night. Shea Theodore is a very good defenseman with Vegas. He may be out for weeks after he did something to his arm. I don't know if he broke his arm, whatever he did. But that's the cost of doing business if you do these tournaments. However, what we saw on the ice was a tremendous product. I don't think there's any question about that. Joel, you watched a lot of it. I'm just curious your thoughts, because I went there apprehensively for two reasons. Number one, I thought 2 weeks is a lot of downtime for teams that, you know, are competing to get in the playoffs or whatever. And I thought the injury risk is something that teams, you know, don't necessarily like to have, especially with star players. But aside from that, I thought it was a phenomenal 10 days.
It really was. You know, it certainly made its mark on how all-star games, all-star festivities ideally should be, and it certainly far outweighed how, I don't know, terrible the NBA All-Star Weekend was. No. This was, you know, if you had to ask 100 people, did you like the NHL Four Nations Face-Off or the NBA All-Star Game better, you get at least 90% of people saying the Four Nations Face-Off.
I think the All-Star Games, I guess baseball's the only one I can deal with.
Me too.
Just because it is one game, and, you know, I didn't like the attachment of a World Series hosting city if you win it for your league. I don't like that stuff, but I mean I can deal with that game as long as a home run hitting contest comes with it. As far as football, they can't do it, and they haven't done it. They're doing all sorts of little trick shows, and that's pretty much how it's going to be. But as far as this and the NBA All-Star, the NBA All-Star game is nothing more than a shoot around. And again, I like Max McClung. I like the fact that they have a slam dunk. All the skill stuff is fine with me. The game itself, they should either do away with or totally radically change it. Now, I don't think they can ever do what the NHL does, with these teams from different countries. There are not enough countries, I think, with elite players to compete against a team like the United States, which is why in the Olympics they normally have their way. But in this case, I like what I saw, and I'm glad that there was no NHL All-Star game. Because I think that's become nothing but a bunch of skating. It's almost like, you know, figure skating, ice capades, that kind of stuff. Nobody really hits. There was a lot of passion in this last night. And I like the fact that, you know, you watch some of the best in the game play together. I think it's difficult sometimes to do that when you're talking about an all-star game or anything short of an Olympic format. You're not going to get guys who want to play together. Sidney Crosby was looking forward to playing with Nathan MacKinnon. Cale Makar is on the ice. All the elite skaters in the game are there. And that's something that brings out the best of the best. They want to compete, and they want to win, and they'll do it at all costs. We saw fighting in that. We saw a lot of physical activity in that. We saw some great goaltending. I'll be the first to tell you that I thought, and I said this multiple times, I thought Connor Hellebuck and the USA team had an advantage in goal. But if you watch Jordan Binnington enough, and certainly winning a Stanley Cup, you saw him at his very best. And he turned back the clock in 2019 last night. He's capable of giving up some leaky goals, and that's what concerned me if I was the Canadian team. But I think they knew down deep he is a big-money goalie, and we saw that throughout the course of these games, and we saw that last night especially in overtime when the United States had all the better of the opportunities. Brady Tkachuk had what I thought was an automatic goal to win the thing, but a glove save by Binnington, who showed you his athletic ability on that play, soon to be followed up by an Austin Matthews unbelievable chance, again turned aside by Binnington. Without those, then Connor McDavid does not get the game-winning goal. I thought Jordan Binnington was the MVP of the game last night. I thought he should have been the player of the game last night. Instead, it went to McDavid, and you know he had himself in the interview afterwards said, I didn't play a very good game, but he did score the game-winning goal, and that obviously carries a lot with it. But Binnington was the best player on the ice, and Binnington's the reason they won last night, which is something I did not expect to say. I thought it was going to be Hellebuck. But bottom line is, USA comes away disappointed. Canada wins, and Sidney Crosby's resume continues to go. He has unbelievable success in these kind of international tournaments, and I'm happy for him for that reason. I know how much this meant to him. He's one of those, you know, players who gets his best efforts at all times, but especially when he's representing his country. And he hasn't lost in these international competitions. It was 2010. He got the golden goal last night. I thought a very interesting embrace after they won the game, the Crosby and McDavid. They hugged each other for quite a while. I think it was an indication of the respect that Sidney has for McDavid and vice versa. And also a little bit of a passing of the torch, as well as Crosby was in game one. I think largely as this series went on, he had some chances. I think Jacob Slavin denied him one time, which was a beautiful move in front of the net. He had wide open net to shoot, and it looked like he was going to score, and Slavin somehow blocked that. He did a very good job in that department. But the question now is, Joel, do you want to see this on a regular occurrence? They're going to have the World Cup of Hockey alternating with Olympics, but that leaves some open years in there. So can they replicate this? Should they do it with more teams involved? Because I think, again, if you're going to have one of these, you need Russia, you need Czech, you need a lot of other nations. The German team, they have some star power there too. So what would you do on those odd years? Because I don't think you can do this every single year. It's a grind. It's a big grind to the star players who are going through a long enough season with these playoffs and an 82-game NHL season.
Maybe, I guess, for 1 year, you go back to the previous NHL All-Star festivities and all that. I'd like to at least keep this format however long possible, because it worked, and it crushed the NBA All-Star festivities by a mile, 5 miles at most. I would try and keep this format as much as they can, because everyone loved it. I can't wait to see the ratings numbers from the Four Nations face-off, and I would say if it worked so well and that everybody's already hyped up for the Olympics next year, man, I'd say keep this format as much as you can.
I just think it's a taxing format. That's the only thing I would say about it. It brings out a lot, and I wonder, Sidney Crosby and all these guys have got to get right back into it. And for the Penguins, it starts tomorrow with back-to-back games over the weekend against the Washington Capitals and the New York Rangers, both at PPG Paints Arena. So that's going to be a tough two games for Crosby to come back and play. And I don't, for me, I would imagine he's going to play. I mean, he doesn't want to miss a game against Ovechkin. He may be extremely tired, But that's hockey. And these guys, you know, they don't sit out games just because they're tired. If you're injured, that's one thing. But sometimes they even play through these injuries, and that's a big difference with NHL culture, I think, than you see from some of these others. But, man, what great theater. I'd like to get your recollections of it. All you have to do is call if you'd like to chat. Set the stage for you today. Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette will join me today at 11. We're going to talk about Steeler off-seasons. We're getting closer to Combine. You know, I don't know how close we are to seeing a decision made about quarterbacks. It's got to happen at some point. I'm sure the powers that be are thinking about it. But if you'd like to talk about the Four Nations, your thoughts about it, were you one of those people who thought it wasn't going to be that good? Did you think it was a waste of 2 weeks? Or did you think it oversold? It did better what most people thought. 412-928-9370. That is the number to call. 412-928-9370. You can hit me up on Twitter, too. It's at KD Pomp as we continue. That leads us to the March 7th trade deadline. Kyle Dubas was there last night, part of this group. Joel, they have until March the 7th to figure out what they're going to do. And they have teams here who are going to be willing to move some players. They also have teams that need some players. You know, Kyle Dubas has been somewhat methodical about how he's handling all of this. He's made some trades, but he hasn't been able to make really big trades. Do you think there is a big trade in the future of the Pittsburgh Penguins in the next couple of weeks? Because they're going to make a decision here sooner or later. And, you know, guys like Tristan Jarry, will he ever play for the Penguins again? What about some of these other guys who have no movement clauses? Will they agree to accept something? I think these are all fascinating questions.
It really is fascinating. Maybe they'll make one move that gives them sort of the all-in mojo, something along those lines. But I think when you look at back at the Vancouver trade they made, I'm not saying it's like a rebuild sort of move, but I think it would be a little, you know, weird or whatever to make that Vancouver move where it seems like it's the kind of move you would make in the beginning process of a rebuild and then make an all-in kind of move. Those things would kind of contrast. So I could probably see them being a little bit more of a seller, but if they're within reach of the playoffs, they might just have to make some sort of all-in move for this season.
They have a lot of teams to hurdle right now, and that's going to be the biggest challenge. It's not so much point differential. That's obviously something you have to dig out from, but it's about teams to hurdle. Not all of them are going to lose games while you win games. And so they've dug this hole. They have to dig out of this hole, and it starts with Washington, the best team in the Eastern Conference. And it's funny, Washington, and I know they have some Russian players led by Ovechkin on that team, but at the Four Nations, they did not have one player on either of those rosters from last night. And you would have thought they would have had somebody, given how well they've played. But they've done a pretty good job of rebuilding quickly. They made some good trades. They made some free agent acquisitions. A lot of this stuff is what the Penguins would like to do. They'd like to replicate that and change things around as quickly as they've been able to change things around. But that's a hard thing to do when you have a lot of no-movement trades. You got to figure out if anyone is willing to drop that. You also have to figure out how many guys in your future down in the Wilkes-Barre Scranton do you think can be up here next year and contributing. It's a tough assessment, you know, given the fact that you're a team right now that needs a lot of help in a lot of different areas, I think. Mike Sullivan has, you know, he takes some criticism for this, but I think what you saw in the Four Nations shows you that when he gets a bunch of talented players together, he knows how to make them work together as a team. I think we saw that. I thought the USA largely was the better team in the third and overtime last night. We'll see. They don't have enough pieces here. They got to figure that out without necessarily going into a full-fledged rebuild. Some advocate for that. I think it's hard to do with all these star players. Put you right in the middle, not unlike what the Steelers are dealing with. So I think that's certainly going to be one of the most watched things coming up. 412-928-9370 here. Let's go to the lines, beginning with Bob, who joins us in the truck. Hello, Bob in the truck. How are you?
All right. I want to know, Bob, why do the NHL owners put up with these injuries and everything? The NFL owners won't. I mean, why do they let these extra games go? And with a chance of all these guys getting hurt, I don't understand. When are they going to wise up and not let them play these extra games?
Well, I mean, if they do them, this was a player thing, Bob. These players wanted this. You know, the NHL set the parameters of it, but the players themselves were pushing for it. The Players Association likes it. People like Crosby, like McKinnon, like McDavid, they want to play against the best and see where they are. Plus, when you attach country to it, I think they all want to play for their country. So it's hard to tell them no, and I understand the injuries are significant. Theodore is a guy who's a big part of Vegas. He may not play for a month or so because of what happened here. But, you know, they have decided it's important for the game. And I think the other thing is the growth of the game. They want to show this kind of game at its very best. And it came at a time when there's not much else happening. I think they took center stage last night. And throughout this 10 days, the ratings reflect that. So if you're trying to grow the game, you got to take chances like this.
I think these owners, I mean, they get a lot invested in these guys. You had millions of dollars invested in these guys, and they're just going to let them play anytime they want. I don't know.
Well, it's not anytime they want. They had an all-star game, and they decided to change the format to make this available. I understand that because I was talking the same thing. What if Connor McDavid goes down for the rest of the season, is out for the year? What if you're Edmonton fan, what are you saying to yourself? You know, why are you doing this? It's our star player. But again, you can't worry about that stuff when you set these things up. Injuries will happen. They'll happen in practice. They can happen at any time. So I don't think they go in with that mindset. It is a reality, and it is a problem for some teams. But overall, for the good of the game, I think this was a good 10 days.
Oh, I don't think the NFL would put up with it.
Well, I mean, it's a different kind of situation also. The NFL has the biggest market share of any sports league. They don't need to do this. What they are doing, however, and you can tell me if you think this is risky, Bob, they're going to go and start playing a lot more overseas games. There's a lot of travel involved. There's a lot of games where you're going to be playing maybe not totally 100% ready to play because of all the travel involved. But they're trying to grow globally now. They've gone beyond this country. They want to grow it on a global basis. So
yeah, it's all about the money, though. I mean, they're looking to sell.
Well, you don't think the NHL is about the money, too? They want to grow their game. They're right now fifth, if you took a poll of people who watch what sports. They're behind basketball and football and baseball and even soccer. So they're trying to improve their product and show people this product is worth watching. It's a passionate product. And I'll tell you this, if you're there in person, there's nothing like hockey. It's unbelievable the pace involved and how these guys are. It translates a little onto TV, but not nearly as much as maybe it should. Thanks, Bob.
Appreciate the call.
All right. Have a good day on your truck. Let's go to Mark in Weirton, West Virginia. What's up, Mark? How are you?
Hey, Bob. How are you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, I know you're an NBA guy. I think you are anyway.
Yes.
I almost fell out of my chair when you said you didn't think the world could field a team to go up against the U.S. I think we'd be the other way
around. I didn't say the world. I didn't say the world. I said each individual nation. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
If you want to put a world team, that's a whole different argument. They have a lot of people. I'm talking about if you're going to have USA athletes versus everybody else. That's why in most of these Olympics, what do you see? Runaway scores. You know, the USA largely is favored to win everything heavily. So if you did it, everyone else against the United States, okay, I'm on for that one. I think that would be interesting. But nation by nation, they don't have enough on every one of these nations to compete, I don't think.
Oh, I agree with you. I misunderstood what you said. I thought you said a world team because that would be good, I think. I mean, I don't think the NBA players would ever go for that, would ever do it for whatever reason. But when you start thinking about a world team – boy, that would be a loaded team between Jokic and Giannis and Luka and SGA and
there's no question that would be in fact, they may have the advantage. They have some of the best players in the world. Speaking of Doncic, I'm disappointed what I've seen from him so far. If I'm the Lakers, he looks out of shape, slow, and not ready to play. And maybe that's why Dallas moved on from him. But it's so far it hasn't been very good in the early returns for the Lakers.
I think that's exactly right. I think they saw his controlling his weight and not working out, and plus he had a big contract to renew and everything. So, but anyway, I apologize for misunderstanding you, but I think that would be a good thing. I don't think the NBA players would ever do it, but boy, if you can get the USA versus the world, I don't know whether they would take it the same as the hockey players would, but I think that would be great.
All right, Mark. Yeah, I like that. I just don't think it would work if USA is versus every single nation because there are a lot of they just don't have enough depth to deal with it. Mike in Bradenton, Florida, joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. What's going on, Mike?
Oh, not much. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was listening to the morning show this morning. This is a little bit off topic, but they were talking about basketball players being so much better athletes than hockey players,
And I just happen to vehemently disagree with that, because to play hockey, you've got to be able to skate at an elite level. And just because you can skate at an elite level doesn't mean you have the hands and the eye-hand coordination and everything else that goes with it to play the sport. I mean, I played basketball when I was a kid. I tried to play hockey when I was a little bit older, and I'm telling you, it's a world difference.
Well, I think hockey players are not – I think they have a high threshold for pain, number one. And I think they have to – and normally they play through a lot of injury. And the up and – you know, the you're on skates and you're flying all over the place. Everything on that surface can impact you. Some physical plays in the corners, they just keep coming. But I'll say this about basketball players, and I think maybe their point was, and I didn't listen to this, but just the cardiovascular level of playing – some players play an entire game. And you're talking about never leaving the court. There are shifts in hockey which give you a chance to recharge, re-energize. And in basketball, some of these guys are running up and back, up and back, up and back. So I guess it's a cardiovascular issue, maybe more so. And I'd look at soccer the same way. You know, people in soccer, they never stop. They never come off the pitch.
Well, I think those guys are in the best shape of any athlete out there. But that being said, those guys get on skates and they go full out for – most of them for 45 seconds to a minute. You look at Lemieux and Crosby and those guys, they go longer than that because they're just such beasts.
Right. No, I get it. It just depends on how you frame this argument, you know?
Yeah.
But I do I have nothing but respect for all these guys anyway. I mean, the cardiovascular part of it and dealing with the physical pain that comes with hockey, you don't necessarily see that in basketball. You will get some injuries, you know, stuff that happens, flying elbows, whatever. But you're talking about, in hockey, man, they're going after you big time. And they have to withstand that, and they do. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate the call from Bradenton, where the Pirates are getting ready to roll here now, because the Pirates are going to open up their Grapefruit League season coming up. And they haven't done much. They signed a pitcher yesterday. I want to talk about that and what that means to their rotation. And we'll get into a bunch of other stuff as well. I want to remind you that the Fan Hotline, which a lot of these guys just called on, is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And again, we're taking calls here until 11 o'clock when Ray Fittipaldo then joins us from the Post-Gazette. We'll delve into some Steeler issues and NFL at-large issues. 412-928-9370. Call. It's the Pomp and Joe Show on a Friday right here on Sports Radio 93.7.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fam. We are back. 412-928-9370. Bob Pompeiani with you today. Joe Starkey has a well-earned day off. When I tell you that our six-pack every day that we do, and we'll get into this with Ray, is brought to you by Bet365. So a lot of topics concerning off-season NFL activity, and a lot of it's more speculation than anything else. And while I understand speculation, sometimes it leads you to, you know, conclusions that just don't make sense. I keep hearing, and a lot of people talking about Aaron Rodgers, who continues to be out there looking for work, apparently. Jets don't want him. They've made that clear. Yet, a lot of teams still have him somehow looking at the Steelers, or speculation about the Steelers. I'm not going to do that because I don't think that makes sense. I just think there's some good football left in him, sure. To me, he's a little like Russell Wilson in that there's some good left, certainly. It's a Hall of Fame career, But there's also issues there. And I don't know if I want to go back and do that all over again. My personal plan, if I were them at this point, would be to bring back Justin Fields, sign him a couple of years, see what happens with a full year after spending a good year here in Pittsburgh, and see where it takes you. And if it takes you to a record that puts you in the middle of the pack again, then you make a decision. You can, at that point, next year look to trade up, pick another quarterback, do whatever. But I'm not going to radically go into a different direction here with another veteran quarterback and keep chasing that quarterback position year after year. I think it's a tough thing to overcome. A lot of talk about Najee Harris and whether or not he will be back. And, you know, I appreciate the fact that he's out there all the time. He's one of those guys who, give him the ball, he's very reliable with it. Thing about him, he doesn't have enough breakaway speed to give you that home run. He's an angry runner, and there's a lot to be said for a team like the Steelers who value the physical part of the game, who want that. But if they really did want him to stay this year, they would have picked up that fifth-year option because it would have cost them far less than what it might cost them in this free agency. And keep in mind, that cap is going up by $22 million this year. So there's going to be some movement in there. There's also going to be some contracts that are restructured. They should clear a lot of space to do whatever it is they may do. But to me, the number one issue will be wide receiver. Number two will be defensive line. I think they have to have a plan for those things. This is aside from quarterback. Quarterback's always the most important decision you're going to make. But those other two positions right now are first and second to me, clearly. Do you need help at cornerback? Yes. Can you use, you know, someone else, you know, maybe depth-wise on the offensive line? Sure, you can do that later in the draft. But it's wide receiver and it's defensive line that needs the most help. So I'd like to hear what you have to say before we bring on Ray Fittipaldo at 11 o'clock. And I also will continue this conversation about the Four Nations. I want to get some responses out there, what you thought of it. And is it something that you they can do on a regular basis? I think not. I think it might be a little bit too much to do. But I also think that they're going to get the kind of response from a rating point of view that's going to make them think that they should do something more than the traditional All-Star game. Those All-Star games have run their courses. There's not much you can do in them. Most players, when they play in generally any All-Star game, they're not invested enough. Baseball may be the only one that still can maintain its current form. The rest of them, I'm not so sure. They got to figure out new stuff because the ratings indicate people aren't interested as well. And again, this the number one goal of all these leagues is to make money. Zach in New Kensington joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. What's up, Zach? How are you?
Good. Hey, big fan, big fan.
Thanks, sir. I appreciate it.
Hey, so I just wanted to talk about Najee. I selfishly want to see him not come back just because I am a believer in Najee. And I believe that if he's on any other team, he's racking 15 touchdowns a year. If he was on the Chiefs, he like Kareem Hunt had 10 plus touchdowns. Najee's way better than Kareem Hunt.
Well, but, given the stages of their careers, I'd say yes right now. I would have my preference with Najee. But they didn't sign him to didn't pick up the fifth-year option for a reason. You know?
Yeah, I think it was to challenge him. And he answered it for a minute. But then that second half of the year, he fell off like a cliff.
There were some games that I really appreciated what he did. But you're right, but it wasn't consistent enough. And again, given the fact that they can probably pick up somebody in the draft who can play that role and do it far cheaper, I think they probably will go in that direction. Although I'm not going to rule out a return.
Yeah, and they should, and I'm happy for Najee to leave because I will believe that we're going to see his production, you know, tick up a lot. I just think that the Steelers, they try to play tough guy football, and they're fake tough guys, and it just doesn't work. So when they play tough guys, like the Ravens, they get annihilated. And every time that they do win, it's by some stroke of accident that Mike Tomlin, you know, chalks up as genius. But we all know it was an accident. It was Lamar Jackson throwing four interceptions, something of that sort. If he plays on a real tough team, he's going to produce.
Well, I mean, we'll see, and we'll see what the market is like for him. You know, he's out there. Chubb's out there. I know the Steelers have respect level for Chubb that's right up there. And if he's healthy, then he may be a cheaper cost, at least for kind of a show-me year, if they want to go in that direction, yeah. If they want to sign somebody. What is what is your pecking order for needs, though? I mean, this offseason is going to be about what they...
This should have been 3 years ago. It should have been defensive line, offensive line, and on repeat until you find a quarterback that you want to protect. But right now, we're stuck in this, you know, talent trap. We don't have the upper echelon players that are required to make it to the next level, but we have a bunch of middling people. And if you were to put them from 0 to 100, they're all 80s, and that's fine. You know, you got a T.J. Watt, he's 95 and above. But, you know, like Cam Hayward's the only actual defensive lineman we have on that team. He's the only one that actually takes up double teams. He's the only one that actually gets penetration. He's the only one that actually holds up on the line and doesn't go backwards. And we haven't had that on that team since Hargrave, right?
Yeah, and they couldn't afford him, and they went out and drafted other guys, and they expect those guys, albeit they're not top-end draft picks.
Yeah.
Although Benton was. Benton was a high pick, and I thought he was okay, but not what I expect him to be. Ogunjobi's getting up there.
We need beef, man. We need 350
Well, all you had to do is find,
plus.
Yeah, listen with, and watch what the Eagles did, and I think Andy White being here will have an effect on what they do. You know, that's why the offensive line was under a lot of focus the last couple of years. Two number ones, a number two. But you can't keep doing that. You got to get results from people who are not number one and number two. And Loudermilk was a guy they had high expectations for. In the fifth round, they moved up to get him, and he has not been a factor at all. DeMarvin Leal has totally regressed. He was, a third-round pick, whatever he was. Guys.
Chicago looks like geniuses on passing on, what's his name, the defensive lineman that we have. He's going to be gone this year. I can't remember his name.
Okay,
he was going to get a huge contract.
He was going to get a huge contract. You're talking about?
Yeah. Like they look like geniuses. They pulled out on a giant contract on a not a bust, but once again a middling player.
Right. No, I get it. They need production there, and that's a very important part. Your outside linebackers are only as good. In fact, your cornerbacks are only as good as the pressure they get. And if you could do it without blitzing, and they didn't blitz a lot, I still would prefer more blitzing. So we'll see what they do.
Let me ask you this last question, and then I'll let you go. Is now, like, is there something wrong with how the Steelers draft? Because this is maybe the second or third year where we just haven't even seen a first and or second round draft pick do anything.
Well, first of all, Zach Frazier played every single game. I mean, that's a pretty good. That's a tough position to play.
Roman Wilson, not there.
No, I mean injuries.
Troy Fontano, not there.
Injury.
You know,
okay.
That doesn't mean
they're bad. That means they were injured, and we'll see what they do this year.
So what's going on? You know what I mean? Like every other team has first and second round draft picks that are producing immediately. Ours don't even make the field.
Recently, maybe. But thanks, Zach, for the call. I do think they've had a history of some pretty good ones. T.J. Watt's one of them at pick number, 30? But my point is when injuries occur, Fontano's going to play this year, and hopefully he'll play well and make it easier on Broderick Jones. Those are two very important parts of their offensive line, and if they're not going to reach the potential I think the Steelers and others have, they're going to have some problems. The biggest problem with drafting is when you miss, you have to redraft same positions. They've chased that with inside linebacker ever since the injury from Ryan Shazier. How many people have they gone through, and they finally maybe have it figured out, but it takes a long time, and you waste a lot of draft equity that way. Mark is on the road, and right now he's on the fan. Hello, Mark.
Hi, good morning, Bob. Thanks for taking my call this morning.
Sure.
Just wanted to kind of piggyback on what the last caller was kind of talking about when it comes to Najee and, going after another running back and kind of letting Najee kind of, see what's available out there. I do think his style of running has benefited us in certain ways, but I do think them letting him kind of go out and explore the market and maybe get onto a different team is probably what's best for him in his career. But as far as what you guys had kind of mentioned earlier about possibly going after like a Nick Chubb or somebody like that, over the years, you see guys that have like gruesome knee injuries like that, and they do, there's those, one or two stories where guys are able to come back like the next season and really be explosive all over again, like how Adrian Peterson was however many years ago that was. But I think you give somebody an opportunity like that where, his cost maybe isn't really that high, And you've seen over the years how running backs coming back from those knee injuries, it's like it's not the first year back, but the second one where they're able to really bounce back
right. And
make a difference on an offense. And I think he would be a great fit for the Steelers and, you know, be a good 1-2 with him and Jaylen Warren, assuming that's the direction they want to go in. As far as the draft goes, I think they got to go after defensive line, receiver. Najee was a great running back for the time that he was here. He was kind of unproductive at times, but for them to go after a running back early, I think it would be a mistake. They have other areas of emphasis that need to be taken care of and develop, you know, right away.
Well, I couldn't agree with that more. I think running back will be taken at some point, but certainly not in the first two. They got a lot of other things they need, and they could figure out ways to deal with it. It could be Chubb. Maybe it is Chubb. Maybe in the year, you know, two since his comeback, he is a more viable option at a better price. We will find out when all this – we got the legal tampering period coming up pretty soon, so that's always interesting, Mark. We'll see what happens with some of that stuff and who signs where, and it will affect – I still think the Steelers are going to make a big play on the wide receiving front. And I don't – T. Higgins is going to have a million opportunities, I would imagine. People are going to throw a lot of money at him, which to me would make it difficult. But there are other guys – and I'd like to know eventually what their plan is for this wide receiving group. If you're going to keep George Pickens, and by all accounts that's what it's going to be, you better get a lot out of him next year because he's going to be playing. And maybe it's because it's in his last year. Same with Najee. You know, he didn't have to get a fifth-year option because he's not a first-round pick. But maybe George Pickens has a big year knowing that it's all on him and his future money will depend on his performance this year. Sometimes that's the best thing you can do for a player. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they need to go back to like a possession type of receiver, maybe in those early rounds, to kind of counteract what Pickens does bring to the table, which is big downfield possessions and catches, like comeback catches. Maybe not as much last year, but the years prior, we definitely saw the glimpse of that. And hopefully they can address the right positions at the right rounds. And hopefully we don't have to have this conversation all over again next year.
Yeah, we don't like the same ones over and over, and it seems like we're doing that a lot. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. 412-928-9370. Ray in Whitehall will be coming up to lead off our next segment. We are due for a break. Want to remind you, Fan is turning 15 years old, and you are invited to our anniversary party on Wednesday, February 26th at the Rivers Casino. The party is free, but you need a ticket to get in. Details at 937thefan.com. Let's listen back to one of the most memorable moments of The Fan right now.
Ron in Cooks Forest wants to talk about Jared Jones. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Palsy, you know what they say. You can't make the club in the tub, Bob.
Ron in Cooks Forest. That is absolutely incredible.
Starkey likes messing with people.
And he so does, doesn't he?
And this is why I put a lot of heavy emphasis on you, Jolie. They make sure that none of these people get on the air when they try. But that's part of what we'll be doing, taking a trip down memory lane. You're invited. That's next Wednesday at the 15th anniversary of 93.7 The Fan. Back with more right here on the Pomp and Joe Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We're back on a Friday edition of Pomp and Joe. Bob Pompeiani here, Joe Starkey, day off, enjoying, I'm sure, a simulator somewhere, getting his swing together. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. It's also the same number as the Fan text line, which, of course, is brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. So baseball season is about to begin, and one of our next callers is interested in talking about the Pirates. Let's find out what Ray from Whitehall says about a team that didn't do much in this offseason, although they brought in another pitcher yesterday, and
right,
I assume he's going to be in this lineup and in the starting rotation.
I was just a little bit disappointed. I know I don't know how much faith you have in N.D. Rodriguez, but I thought he showed me enough a couple years ago that he should be given maybe more of a chance. I don't know, to play every day, but it looks at this point like he's not going to be starting off. And I thought that they should have given him a chance to catch and maybe try to put Joey Bart at first until this Horowitz comes back. But I also want to say that I didn't agree with the move for Tommy Pham. I would have kept Reynolds and left, and I would give Davis one more chance.
So would I.
I would maybe, like, if he isn't hitting by, like, say, 250 by, say, Memorial Day or mid-June, that would be it. But thanks for your time.
Thank you, Ray. And this is a conversation I had with Joe the other day about how you got to give more leash to this guy. He's a number one overall pick. Yeah, he struggled, but you can't just discard him at this age and this quickly. They've got to figure and listen, Tommy Pham is Tommy Pham. He's 37. He'll give you 10 home runs. He'll give you what a lot of veteran journeyman outfielder will give you. which is another year for him to collect $4 million, $4.7 million, whatever he's getting. Will he actually make a difference? The answer is no. I would rather find out about guys. I need to know about guys. They have too many in their system that I think have some potential to do something, but I got to see it. I realize he struggled, and you can't just give jobs away. But at the same time, you've got to try to extract as much as you can from this investment, however you do it. And Tommy Pham, you know, they've changed the entire outfield to accommodate him, it looks like, and move Reynolds to right. You know, whether this is going to work or not, I don't know. They can also hope that Jack Suwinski somehow, you know, becomes a more consistent hitter. They need his bat. They need him to be the kind of player that I think he can be. But it's been very erratic, and the numbers are not good when it comes to, you know, especially on-base percentage, average, OPS dipped, all of these things. So Henry Davis, to me, he'd be my DH. I know that Andrew McCutchen is here, but I would, you know, at some point integrate him in there just to get his bat and see what he can do for this bat. And if he struggles, again, where is this team going? I got to find out what I have in him. And so far, I haven't heard his name about anything. Maybe he has a killer spring. Maybe he does. And maybe let's hypothetically say he does have a killer spring. What do they do? Ignore it? Or do they put him because they have preconceived idea of what their lineup's going to be? If Henry Davis hits 5 home runs this spring and shows you that he could rake, I am not going to shut that off just because he's not in my preconceived lineup that I have. No, I'm going to make a way to get him in there. I absolutely should, and I hope that happens. I want to see him really do some hitting in this spring. A lot of people will say it's only spring, but in his case, he needs to have some confidence. And if this provides him that base for confidence, then I would ride it at somebody's expense, whatever they want to do with that. But they really haven't done enough in this offseason, again, with what they have in their starting pitching staff, which I think is going to be maybe the best in the division, and a guy who can win the Cy Young. So, Joel, I don't know that there's ever been a pitcher who's won a Cy Young on a team that finished in last place. That's your homework assignment for me. If you could find out, because right now Skeens is expected to be the front runner to win a Cy Young. And normally when you have a Cy Young type of pitcher on your roster, you should be able to be competitive, especially with the expansion of teams in playoffs. But, we'll see where that takes them. But they need Ke'Bryan Hayes to really turn everything around and get his offense on track. They do. They need it. But you can't predict it given his back history. IKF is, to me, average. He's a nice player to have. Gonzalez, can he take another step at second? You hope. You know, they don't have a lot of people that you're counting on other than Reynolds and Cruz to bring you consistent at-bats. And they need more than that, especially when I would assume the Pirates are going to play a lot of close games because their pitching will be good enough to take them into the 6th, 7th, 8th innings where it's a one-run game. The difference will be that they have the people who can hit to get them runs late in the game, to get them over the hump. You'd hate to see them have well-pitched games and lose those well-pitched games because they don't have enough hitting, but that's how this is sort of shaping up. I hope I'm wrong. I want to see them get off to a good start and be viable, so we have a lot to talk about there, but I have a feeling that's what you're going to see. A lot of well-pitched games by both teams, a lot of 3-2, 2-1, 4-3 kind of games with not a lot of prolific hitting. 412-928-9370 is the number to call, but you look at the teams in their division, I'm telling you, Cincinnati's a team that I would watch out for. I know it doesn't always work out this way, but they've made some nice upgrades. They brought in Terry Francona, who has a winning culture history. I think the Cubs have done some good things that have helped them out. Cardinals are just the Cardinals, but you know, and that's to say I don't think they're going to be a team that's competing for a championship, but I also know that they know how to develop people. So I wouldn't be surprised if throughout the course of the year you see the Cardinals bring up guys who will, you know, become real good players for them. That's what the Pirates need more of. And if you're not going to do that, the other option might be, and maybe this trade here that they, or this signing they made yesterday, will open up an opportunity to trade one of their really good blue chip pitchers who have not pitched up here yet. Whether that's Bubba Chandler, whether that's Thomas Harrington, Ashcroft, there are guys in their system who carry blue chip labels, which could be used as, you know, trade bait. Now that you have 5 starters and probably more, once Oviedo is 100%, I don't know if he's going to be 100% to start this year. So, now you can maybe trade one of those guys and get a bat that you need. Maybe this signing yesterday has opened up a trade market for one of their premium prospects. And if so, I would not be against that, because you got to figure out in the next 4 years what you're going to do to try to upgrade your hitting to help a pitching staff that I think is still going to be pretty good. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. The Pirates are close to opening this thing up down in Bradenton, Florida. Paul Skeens is the favorite to win the Cy Young at age 22, which is pretty amazing. You don't see most guys do that, but he is in that situation. When we come back, we're going to talk about football with Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette. He has a keen eye for what's going on about that. And we'll see what he has to say about how things are proceeding with regard to the salary cap, which is going to increase, and how much money they actually will have to spend, and what will they spend it on, and then what will they do with the draft? You got the combine coming up. But before I do that, Dan wants to talk Cy Young, and I want to get him on before we take a long commercial break. So, Dan, you're up. What's up, Dan? Dan and Swickley.
Oh, it's actually Dave. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. It says Dan here, and I can't read anyway. But go ahead, Dave. How are you?
I'm in a car. I'm good. Just to follow up on the last place Cy Young winner, I don't have it in front of me, but I think Steve Carlton won in the in 72 for the Phillies, won like 27 games, and the Phillies were terrible that year. And he won like 60-something.
We'll look into that, because I can't think of many offhand. That may be a good one. I can't believe 27 wins. But, man, if that's the case and they finish in last place, that is a malfunction of trying to put together an offense, is it not?
It is. This is off the top of my head, so you're going to have to do the research. I apologize.
No, that's all right. We'll do it in a break. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate that. It could be Steve Carlton.
Right.
Be safe out there. We're going to take a break. Ray Fittipaldo's up next. And we will continue. The 15-minute mark on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township on Route 19. And again, The Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider over 50 years. Football Talk with Ray Fittipaldo is next right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.